The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
A report released by the Environmental Protection Agency has found that the quality of drinking water from public supplies has remained high, with over 99% of samples compliant with bacterial and chemical limits, almost 100% in fact. Joining me now is Tom Cuddy, Head of Operations at Irish Water. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Gratifying for you to know that nearly all of the supplies are pretty good.
It's certainly reassuring, Pat. Yes, we monitor our supplies continuously and we're quite aware of the high standards that's there and also the improvement trends, the continuing investment that we're making. We're finding a very substantial improvement trend.
Okay, now they say, yes, that's great, but two significant failures, Gorey and Ballymore Eustace last year. What happened in those cases? What went wrong for Irish Water?
Well, essentially, across the country, we have about 750 water treatment plants, and we have a program of upgrading the plants and of improving our monitoring and our incident management. And we have, on foot of those incidents, we have accelerated that, and so we have a much more substantial oversight arrangement in place now. We've managed to mobilise our
24/7. But what happened that people didn't notice that things were going wrong until the water was already in the pipes and going to people's homes?
Yes, well, essentially, what happens in Gorey, for example, is that we have a run-of-the-river supply, and the intake water, the raw water, can be very variable if you get very heavy rain, mm-hmm. as happened in that instance. And it was beyond the capacity of the old treatment plant to bring the level of turbidity, which is the cloudiness, down sufficiently. And there was a breakthrough into the supply. There were
and a number of people were hospitalised on foot of it.
Yes, indeed, and that was very unfortunate. As soon as it became to our attention, we mobilised our incident management plan. We applied a boil water notice. We consulted
the
HSE.
You would have known that, you know, there had been excess rain and so on, that this was likely to happen. Why was it missed?
Well, we had, again, as happens with in a number of cases, we had an outage of electricity, which affected an instrument, a measuring instrument, and there was a failure for the readings to come through to alert.
Could that happen again? That's what people in Gorey want to know.
Well, exactly. That's the point, really. On foot of that, that highlighted these single point of failure problems. And so we brought forward plans that we have for really a 3-point different lines of visibility on these points.
So it cannot happen. You know, anything can happen, okay, but it's very unlikely to happen again.
Well, first of all, we can see it much more clearly because we have different lines of visibility 24/7 from our control centre. Secondly, in Gorey and in most of the other treatment plants at this stage, and it will be all of them, we have an automatic shutdown in the event of anything happening. So even if nobody sees it, the plant will shut down.
And what about Ballymore Eustace? What went wrong there?
Well, Ballymore Eustace similarly was, it was an intermediate, it was a partial failure, it wasn't a full failure, but essentially the chlorine for a period of time into one of the tanks failed, and so the concentration diminished below the threshold, but we did not have unchlorinated water, and in fact the water subsequently mixed with much more chlorinated water in our reservoirs. So by the time it got to people's tanks, taps, frankly, the water was generally safe to drink, yes.
Okay, now the number of boil water notices increased last year, and the number of, what are they calling, trihalomethane failures. What are they and why would they increase if you were kind of getting your act together?
Well, trihalomethanes are a result of very minute and trace organic compounds coming in contact with chlorine, and it's essentially a byproduct. So at one level, it's a reflection of the efficiency or the effectiveness of our disinfection. Every one of our water supplies is disinfected. With our increased vigilance, we have increased reduced our thresholds for intervening. So boil water notices, most of them that we have now are effectively precautionary boil water notices.
In other words, you could drink the water, but you're saying just in case. Is that it?
Yes, it's where the parameters which would indicate a risk increase start to approach a threshold. Now, it's a very, very low threshold. It's well below the regulatory compliance level. And just if you like, to illustrate the effect of our increased vigilance. In the nine-month period following the Gori incident, we had 68 short-term boil water notices. And for the equivalent time the previous year, we had 18. So our vigilance, our readiness to apply a boil water notice as a precautionary measure has increased.
And that's probably good from a public health point of view, but the idea would be to avoid boil water notices in the first place by having a really good system.
Yes, Pat, in time, we have our National Water Resources Plan, which has examined the resilience and the viability of a lot of our sources. And in fact, that indicates that over time, we're going to remove about a third of our sources, because effectively they are challenged by the current demands, by the increasing demands, by climate change, and by all of the risks in the catchments. So many of these vulnerable supplies, already we've removed 50 over the past few years, and we have another 200 to remove over the next 10 to 15
years. And where will the substitute water come from?
Well, what we'll be doing is consolidating into our larger, more secure treatment plants, and that will give us a much stronger barrier. And in addition, in many of those cases, we are cross-linking networks between these large treatment areas so that we can have backup supply, we can turn off when needed, so we can monitor and respond.
Now, currently people in the Greater Dublin area, in Wicklow and South Dublin, are complaining about a mouldy taste from water. What's causing that? And even though it tastes awful, why is that safe?
Well, the taste is caused by a compound which is called methyl isoborneol, MIB for short, and it's produced when there is levels of certain types of algae, and they're essentially the trace elements get through the treatment plant. They're very, very microscopic levels. It's very subjective. Not many people actually get the taste. It's variable from person to person.
Where does this stuff, where does the MIB come from? Where does the algae come from? How does it get into the water supply that's going for treatment?
Yeah, it's a naturally occurring algae, and it's in mostly in upland lake sources. In this case, it's the Vartry Lakes in County Wicklow. It's a combination of events, really, with the low water levels and the warm temperature, and also because the intake, there's works happening at the intake, so we're taking the water from a different stratum within the lake body. Regardless, it's still a very occasional issue. We've had this on a couple of times before on other sites. This is the first one in 10 years in Vartry. It will last. It is already diminishing. We're seeing that as it's working its way through the system. There's a plug of water with this mouldy taste, which some people get, but most people actually don't. Some of our colleagues, same people in the same house, some people get it and some people don't. It's working its way through, and it's now at a much lower level than it has been the last few weeks.
One person on my text screen who does get it, Deirdre, says, I live in the Dunleary area, and for the last 2 weeks our water tastes musty, even mouldy. Irish Water say everything is fine, but I find it very strong. Is it safe for my baby to drink?
Well, again, the advice we have is that the water is safe to drink, both from the HSE and also the World Health Organization likewise. And we have had the water tested for every other potential risk, but we've also had it tested for MIB in specialist labs, and the level of MIB in the water is far, far below any threshold.
Now, some of the recommendations from the EPA about, for example, disinfection systems and getting the level of disinfection right. Well, I presume you can't have too much or the taste becomes unacceptable, and you can't have too little or you can get bugs in the water.
Yes, well, disinfection management is very critical, and all of our supplies are disinfected. That's our absolute number one barrier, and has been for decades, frankly, in Ireland on public supplies. But as you say, there are potential side effects like THMs, particularly where we have a surface water supply. And there is the matter of the variability, because if we have a network where it takes 3 or 4 days for the water to travel through the network, how do we get the right dose at the inlet point at the water treatment plant that will still be sufficient at the end? So what it means is throughout the network, in some cases, we have to have booster stations. Depending on the water chemistry, the time of year, we have to modify the disinfection. And so we're doing an upgrade program. At this stage, we've reached 350 of our plants, where we're putting in a much more interactive, dynamic disinfection system. But frankly, it's it's really putting an automatic control on very secure systems that are there, which are probably working a little bit conservatively for the moment.
When do you think you'll have the whole network at a level that you would think is appropriate for the 21st century?
Well, I mentioned the drinking water safety plan, and effectively that's our strategic plan. It's a 25-year plan, and it sets out a huge program of rationalization, of management, if you like, protection for future growth, and of standards, and taking account of all the matters in the catchments and climate change scenarios, etc. And that in turn then creates capital investment programs, which are very, very substantial. So it, in order to get all the way through, right down the list, we're looking at decades probably, but frankly, the key critical issues with regard to safety of water, water quality, they're very much being addressed currently.
One of the issues not directly related to drinking, although if you're a sea swimmer in Dublin Bay, you're probably inevitably going to drink some of the stuff. And you have a system that you use in the summer when the water is being used by many people for bathing. A UV treatment system, and does that change then on the outflow in the winter?
Yes, well, it's part of our licensing arrangement at Ringsend Wastewater Treatment Plant to, in addition to the treatment processes that are within the plant, to treat the final discharge with
ultraviolet light. It doesn't go back to people to drink, it goes into Dublin Bay.
No, it's diluted in, it goes into the mouth of the Liffey and, of course, the Dublin Bay tidal area as well, and there's a very substantial tidal flush every day. In fact, the dilution rate is in the tens of thousands to one of our effluent. In any event, the UV treatment, we have done a study over the past year to measure the effectiveness of the UV treatment and its effect on bathing water quality, and the outturn of the study, which comprised modelling and a very, very extensive sampling, several thousand samples. The outturn of that study was that the difference between having the UV on and the UV off was negligible. It was not measurable.
Mm-hmm. We're going to leave it there, but I would like to have you back in, Tom, to talk about many of the complaints we have from builders and developers that they're not getting a timely supply from Irish Water, but we'll keep that for another day. Tom Cuddy, Head of Operations at Irish Water, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.